Today marks the 40th anniversary of the US Supreme Court decision to legalise abortion during the first trimester following the landmark Roe v. Wade case in January of 1973. Abortion clinics sprang up across America and the National Right to Life Committee was born, as was the debate regarding the right to life. To look at this landmark case and the impact as it had, it's had in America, we're joined from California by Professor Kristen Luca, Director of Berkeley Law's Center on Reproductive Rights and Justice at the University of California, and author of a number of books, including the Pulitzer Prize-nominated book, Abortion and the Politics of Motherhood. Professor, welcome to our In Summer Breakfast.
Thank you.
Now, 40 years on, what's been the legal and social impact of the U.S. Supreme Court decision legalizing abortion in the first trimester?
Well, it's a very complicated picture. The formal right to abortion still exists, and American women no longer have to have illegal or clandestine abortions. But the right to life movement, which you referenced, and its opposition to abortion has meant that there are no federally funded abortions. 87% of all counties and 97% of all rural counties in the United States don't have a single abortion provider. So restrictions on abortion that seem reasonable, a waiting period or having to read an informed consent, can actually be a barrier to getting an abortion. So we have the right, but we don't have the access necessarily.
So have state laws subsequent to the 1973 ruling diluted its ruling at all?
Oh, completely. Completely, including one from Missouri called Webster v. Reproductive Services, where increasingly the court has permitted limitations on access to abortion and the capacity to actually get one. So, for example, in that case, in Missouri, there were abortions being performed in public hospitals, but not on public funds, so that women went in and their insurance companies or their they themselves paid for their abortion, and the hospital recouped any costs. But the state of Missouri said that was not acceptable, that they did not want that to happen, and the Supreme Court upheld that.
So why does abortion remain such a politically charged debate that gets so much airtime in America?
Well, I think there are a lot of reasons. One of them is that we are a winner-take-all political system, and therefore we're very open to small groups of mobilized minorities who care very passionately about something. Mm. I think you're seeing an analogous situation playing out with respect to gun control. Mm. Historically, a very small group of very passionate gun advocates have been able to stymie any legislation on gun control, including on things like assault weapons and things like that. That may be changing, but historically it's the case that we're very responsive to single-issue constituencies as a political system. I think the other thing is that it served to create a divide between those people who, for whom controlling their fertility is key to getting their education, going into a profession, et cetera, and those for whom having a family is the most satisfying life course that they can imagine for themselves.
And yet, survey after survey has shown that the majority of the American population clearly don't want to see Roe versus Wade overturned.
True, but it's not a very salient issue. I saw a survey some years ago asking people to rank 25 issues important to voters, and abortion was 25.
Mm.
So, yes, but, you know, this could change in an instant should the court decide to overturn Roe v. Wade, which is why I think they're probably not going to do it.
Yeah, indeed. But this can only happen, I suppose, once a Republican president can nominate a conservative judge.
That's true.
B- Professor Kristen Luker, thank you so much for bringing us up to speed with the 40th anniversary of that landmark decision. I wish you all the best, and thank you for taking the trouble to take our call this morning.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That was Professor Kristen Luker, Director of Berkeley Laws Center on Reproductive Rights and Justice at the University of California. Now, Roe versus Wade has had a ripple effect throughout the world, and to get a perspective on the impact it had and possibly still has, we're joined in the studio by Eva Cox, feminist, social policy advocate and adjunct professor at Sydney University of Technology. Eva, lovely to see you again. Welcome
to the
program.
It's nice to see you too. Thank you for inviting me on this interesting occasion.
Yes. So what effect did the 73 decision have in Australia?
Well, it gave heart to a lot of things that were beginning to happen around the Menhinnitt ruling and the Levine rulings because, I mean, abortion was at that stage illegal. Mm. You know, I'm one of the people who suffered under that, you know, in the late 1950s, I actually had an abortion illegally. I had to go in a taxi to a place in Bondi and hand over cash, and you weren't allowed to give your names. It was all of that really sleazy, nasty thing. The cops were paid off. It was all... Yeah. Under there. So we were delighted when legal stuff started coming through, which eased the idea. And the Roe versus Wade thing, I mean, we do look to the USA, regardless of whether we should or shouldn't. We could have our long arguments about that.
Yeah.
That the change in that under the privacy part of the human rights bills of the USA meant that the whole thing could really be up for public discussion. And it really just encouraged everybody. It encouraged us to try and get the laws changed. It encouraged us to set up abortion clinics. It set up, you know, much better contraceptive advice. It was part of that 1970s, 60s, into the 70s move, saying, hang on, women are human beings. We can't control their bodies. It was incredibly important. And since then, there's been changes in Australia. We've actually had law reform in some states. We don't have it in New South Wales, really. We're still operating on the basis of rulings, of the Levine ruling. Queensland's the other one where we recently had the case where somebody was being charged about the fact that they'd used the abortion pill. So, I mean, in those two states, it is still actually illegal to have an abortion, except when it sort of is covered by a medical doctor making a decision. So it's still very dicey, and you could have another case and push it backwards.
Yeah.
In the other states, we've had various changes. The ACT has actually taken it entirely out of the Crimes Act, but the rest of Australia, it's sort of still there with various forms of restriction. So it's still very much an issue, and particularly I've been working with quite a lot of younger women. They still see it as something which is deeply offensive and needs to be changed.
So there's no common law across the nation?
No, it's actually a state-based issue.
And always so they've, always the states.
Always the states. That's the trouble with federation. They gave powers to the Commonwealth and they're hanging on to the rest of them and they're not prepared to hand it over.
Yeah.
The only thing the federal government can do, and it becomes an issue, particularly there's been some of the flack about Tony Abbott and his attitudes to abortion, is that the Commonwealth obviously funds Medicare.
Mm.
And there have been odd moments of discussion about possibly removing Medicare benefits you know, for those particular services and being able to sort of proscribe it and limit the access. But it's extraordinarily hard because, you know, a termination is actually something which is actually a medical procedure, and you would get the entire medical profession up in arms if certain procedures were not available for very good medical reasons, not just other reasons. So you've got that sort of whole thing sitting there, and one of the sort of fears I think a lot of people have about Tony Abbott is that he has been at various stages making noises about it, and certainly his attitude in the RU486 area, which is the medical abortion as opposed to the, you know, to a surgical abortion, still indicates that, you know, that this is very much a live issue. And I think it's interesting listening to the stuff from the USA because it shows, I think it reflects some of the sort of more conservative views that we're also seeing emerging in bits and pieces around Australia about the fact that some of the things that we fought for in the 1970s are not nearly as well entrenched and part of the world that we thought they were. There's always that possibility of going backwards. So I suspect that the 40th anniversary is both a celebration and a warning not to take anything for granted.
indeed. Well, it's the perfect, moral petri dish, really, isn't it, abortion? When does a fetus become a baby? Because once it's a baby, it has their full...
Protection of the law. Well, it technically becomes a baby when it actually emerges. I mean, that's one of the sort of arguments.
Yeah.
But obviously these days, particularly with things like the increase in technology, that sort of part of the thing where a baby is viable or non-viable has moved backwards, and now some survive at 24 weeks, 25 weeks, 26 weeks.
Yes.
And so you get these sort of, you know, there was a big scandal a few years in Victoria, where there was a quite late abortion with a badly disabled fetus.
That's right.
And various other things. So the difference between fetus and baby and the language of fetus and baby becomes a very difficult one, and it is a difficult one with the high technology things with IVF and the various other sorts of things. So, you know, I think we've got a lot of potential arguments to come as technology changes, and the arguments become there. But I mean, basically, for a lot of people, the idea that women can't control whether or not they have a child is still a deeply emotional and rational sense of, you know, if we're fully human, we must have control over that particular aspect of our bodies.
Exactly. Eva, thank you so much for coming in.
It was a pleasure.
Eva Cox joining us, looking at the 40th anniversary of the Roe versus Wade case in the United States. It's coming up, a little bit late today, to 4 minutes to 8 o'clock. We'll be joined by Greg Mahoney in just a second.